The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So, again, we want to officially welcome everybody here on Facebook Live. We want to welcome you guys on podcast, and we want to welcome you on YouTube. We want to welcome everyone from certain groups that we shared this to as well, and those who are being notified. I want to bring you a word. This word was inspired yesterday when I was at church. Pastor got up and he shared a message out of Luke 22. It was one verse of scripture, and preachers are notorious for this. Ministers of the gospel will get a message out of a message. And this is exactly what happened to me yesterday while I was sitting there listening to this message. He read one verse of scripture, and like the whole message was developed. The Holy Spirit just dropped this in my heart. And I want to share this with you today. And I want to talk about contending for the faith in 2020. If you were to, and guys, I'm just going to tell you straight out. This time of year is very aggravating to me because I see across the spectrum, you see a flood of quote unquote prophetic words that start just coming out of the woodwork. People get up and they give these vague prophetic words. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of transference of wealth. This is the year of open doors. This is the year of closed doors. This is the year of going forward. This is the year that you stay still. This is the year that you move forward. This is the year that you go. This is the year that you stay. I mean, it's like if you listen to every one of these words, you wouldn't know whether to go up or down or back or forward or go or stay. Or so I'm not going to give you one of these generic words. This is what I call them, generic one size fits all word. I'm going to give you something that I feel like is more of a warning for what I see coming, because I'm going to be flat and honest with you. And everybody that's listening to this by podcast, by Facebook, by YouTube, I know I understand we have a vast array of people in different ages and different ethnicities and different groups and different denominational backgrounds. But I'm going to tell you something from my own personal experience. 2019, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me and my family. 2019 was a rough year. 2019 was a difficult year. 2019 was a, there was a lot of separation. There was a lot of sifting. There was a lot of shaking. We've gained a lot of friendships, and we've lost a lot of friendships. I'm telling you, the enemy, it seemed like the enemy was on a rampage in 2019, from everything from physical attacks, from financial attacks, to relational attacks. I'm telling you, listen, I can't speak for you guys, but I'm telling you, if you could bear witness with this, then so be it. But maybe you had the greatest year you ever had in 2019. Praise God, and I hope 2020 is no different. But I'm going to tell you something, guys. I believe that 2020 is going to be an interesting year. Not only are we heading into another presidential election, which that in itself is going to be very tumultuous. It's going to be very, there's going to be a very intense atmosphere in the nation of America. We're already seeing such divide. We're seeing such a division that's already taken place in this nation. And I believe, again, we're heading into the election season. So you might as well take the dial and you might as well dial it up. You might as well crank it up. It's going to get more intense. It's going to be more, the magnification of that is going to become greater in magnitude. And I'm not just talking about election wise, but I'm talking about as warfare wise. I'm talking about division. I'm talking about discord. I'm talking about the forces of darkness. I'm talking about all these, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, let me get into this. Luke 22, 14 through 34. That's going to be our text tonight. Luke 22, 14 through 24. Now, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Listen to this. It says, when the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles were with him. And he said to them, quote, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So here's a very intimate setting. Here is a, he's about to share a very intimate setting with them, dealing with the Last Supper, is what we term this. He's going to share with them the significance of his blood and his body, his blood being shed, his body being broken, and then partaking of this Passover. And he even goes and says to them that this will be the last time that he will eat and drink with them until the coming of the kingdom. Okay, so this is a big deal. And he says, I have a fervent desire to partake of this Passover supper with you before I suffer. So notice that he tells them that he tells them the Son of Man is about to suffer great trial and persecution. And he says, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup. He gave thanks and said to them, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which was given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. Notice, right in the midst of this most intimate setting, betrayal is beginning to manifest itself. You know what this speaks to me, friends? See, we think that betrayal and discord and division and strife and abandonment and all these things will happen, will take place in a dark hour, in a valley, in a place where we can expect it. But I'm going to tell you, the closer you get to his presence, the closer you get in his glory, the closer you get to seeing his face, the more intimate you get with the Lord, that's when all the crazy stuff starts happening. That's when the enemy will devise a plan. That's when the Jezebel spirit will show up. That's when discord begins to manifest itself. That's when a Judas shows up in the camp. That's when something crazy begins to surface in the ministry. That's when money problems show up. That's when marital problems show up. That's when physical health problems show up. That's when things start happening with your children. That's when everything that can go wrong begins to take place. You ever notice it's always when you're at the foot of the cross, when your head is on the bosom of Jesus, when you're laying in the lap of Jesus, when you're getting revelation from the Lord, when you're in the presence of God, when you're going from faith to faith, to glory to the glory, when you're in there in the midst of drinking from the cup and eating of the bread, and Jesus says that the betrayer is right here sitting at the table among us. Who am I talking to tonight? And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe unto that man and by whom he is betrayed. Then they begin to question among themselves which of them it is who would do such a thing. For, you know, this speaks volumes. Notice that none of these guys, we're talking about Peter here, we're talking about the one who had the revelation of who the Son of God was, the Son of David, the Son of Man. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. We're talking about the man who would go to cut off an ear of a centurion that would try to come and try to take captive Jesus. We're talking about the one who Jesus loved, who laid on the breast of him, was sitting there at the table. And not one of them had confidence in their own relationship with him that they could say, I know it's me. It's going to be me that betrays him. Or none of them began to point their finger at each other and said, it's going to be you or it's going to be you. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. There's a place in him that we can get so close to him and so dead to ourselves that when the Holy Spirit begins to shine His spotlight on us, He'll begin to reveal things in our hearts and in our spirit that we had no clue and no understanding that we even had these things in us, in our lives. You mean, Lord, I've had this the whole time, and the Holy Spirit is gentle, and He'll say, yes, son, yes, my daughter, and I love you, and I desire that you carry not this anymore, that you know you no longer walk with this anymore, but just lay it down at my feet, if you would. Just lay it at the cross. Just take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow after me. See, Sandra brought this up, so I'm going to talk about this here on the broadcast. Fasting. We're entering into, as a corporate body, every single year, I would venture to say thousands of churches around America and even outside of America, outside the United States, thousands of churches begin to enter into a corporate time of prayer and fasting. And guys, again, when we go into prayer and fasting, what this does, it begins to bring to surface those things which were hidden, those things which were dormant, those things which were held in secret to the flesh. But when you begin to pray and mingle it with fasting, what happens is those things begin to be revealed. They begin to bring, they come to surface. Why? So that we can begin to skim those things off by the help of the Holy Ghost. And we can walk uprightly. We can walk and be exactly what God has called us to be. I've got to get through this thing. Listen to this. This is Luke 22, 24, and now there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. That shows you right there that they still had stuff in them that needed to be skimmed out of them. The very fact that they're disputing among each other of which one of them was to be the greatest testifies that they had pride in them that needed to be skimmed off the top. In verse 25, it says, and he said to them, Jesus speaks up while they're arguing amongst each other during communion. Hello. He says, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But it's not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. Verse 27, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I among you as the one who serves. Now, another angle or another picture or another testament of this very story from another gospel writer says that Jesus got up from the table, girded himself about with a towel, and he took a basin of water and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And even the one who he knew would betray him. And Peter stood out and says, Lord, you'll not wash my feet. And says, Peter, if I don't do this, you cannot partake of me. You cannot be a part of my kingdom. And he says, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head and my whole body as well. So Jesus began to be a living example to them of servanthood. He began to humble them, and it blows my mind that he began to wash the very feet of the one who he knew already who was going to betray him. Listen what he says in verse 28, Luke 22:28. But you are those, and now who's he speaking to? The disciples. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. That word was not to everybody. That word was not to the 70. It was not to the elders. It was not to those that weren't these were not there at the Sermon on the Mount, the majority. This was not for the majority that there was there for the fish and loaves. This was for the remnant. This was for the disciples. He said, no longer do I call you disciples, I call you friends. Why? What had validated them? What had qualified them with such an honor? The answer is that the fact that they continued with him in his trials. Listen, anybody can claim to be a Christian, but not everybody can wear the title of a disciple. Let me say that again. Anybody can claim to be a Christian. We've got a lot of people that claim to be Christians. They wear crosses on their necks. They wear shirts with Christian paraphernalia. They got the bumper stickers on. They listen to Christian music. They go to Christian concert. They know how to speak Christianese. They go to church a couple times a week, or they go to church once a week. They got a Bible. They got three Bibles. They can quote a couple scriptures here and there. But listen, what about, and when it's, as long as it's good, as long as it's, everything is on the mountain experience, everything is smooth, everything is flowing, everything is going right, everything, the money is coming in, everything's blessed, your family's blessed, everything, everybody gets along, you don't have any enemies, nobody's looking to stab you in the back, nobody's looking to betray you, nobody's looking to abandon you, nobody's looking to hurt you, wound you, persecute you, lie you, slander against you. That's the kind of Christianity everybody wants to follow and be a part of. But the disciples are those, come on somebody, who's going to be with Jesus when everybody's not singing Hosanna unto the highest, blessed be the name of the Lord. But who's going to be with Jesus when they begin to raise their fist at heaven and begin to shout out, let his blood be upon us and our children, and to begin to shout out, crucify him, let him be crucified. Or they begin to cry out, blaspheme. They begin to cry out, blasphemy. They begin to swear at him. They begin to curse at him. They begin to mock him. They begin to rip his beard out. They begin to slap him. They begin to lie on him. They begin to rip his clothes and cast them for lots. Come on. Who is willing? Jesus said, these are those who have continued with me in my trials. Listen, I'm getting ready to get to the point. I know everybody's saying, what is the point of this message? I want to know what you mean by contending for your faith in 2020. Oh, I'm going to get there. Listen to verse 29, Luke 22:29. He follows this up with this. Listen what he says. And I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, now listen to this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, he directs his focus right to Peter. And he says, indeed, Satan has asked for you. Whoa. So Satan has come before the throne of heaven, and he has specifically desired Peter. He has come to ask for permission for Peter. Why? He tells you, listen to this. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. What do you mean sift you as wheat? Listen, I don't have time to explain. We did a whole message on this probably a year ago. We talked about the entire threshing floor. We talked about sifting wheat. But there's a process in which they do this, and they sift the wheat so that they can differentiate between the wheat and the tares. Let me show you another example. It's sifting for gold. You sift this thing, you take the pan of gold, you dip it out, you sift this thing, and all the impurities fall out. All the junk, all the bad stuff is sifted out. It comes and it falls out, and so that the precious minerals, the precious, that which is precious, remains at the top. So it's interesting that Satan found great pleasure in sifting Peter. Now notice, I want to show you something. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Now this is heavy. Notice Jesus didn't say, now look, Peter, Satan has desired, he's come before the throne, and he's desired to sift you as wheat. Notice Jesus didn't say, and Peter, I got good news for you. When he came and desired to sift you as wheat, I stopped him and says, no, you can't touch him. No, you can't sift him. No, you can't try him. No, you can't put him through a tribulation, a testing. He didn't say that. He didn't restrain Satan. He didn't stop Satan. Jesus said, I have prayed for you. Why? Listen, here's the answer. That your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me to strengthen your brethren. My goodness, guys, this is heavy. Jesus was foretelling, he was prophesying to Peter. He's saying, can I tell you what he's saying, plain and simple? He's saying, Peter, you, my friend, are about to get sifted as wheat. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pleasurable. And it's going to be tough. And it's going to be hard. And the sifting is going to be so strong and so tremendous that for a season, you're going to fall away from me. You're going to deny me. Not once, not twice, but three times. You're even going to swear an oath and swear a curse upon yourself. Listen, I could go into the whole where the Bible talks about and he swore an oath. It's not talking about he's swearing as in cuss words. He was swearing an oath. You got to study that out in the Greek. This is a heavy thing here. That he would basically be ostracized or abandoned from Jerusalem if he was to deny the Lord. And Jesus foretold this and says, Peter, listen, you're about to be sifted and go through some hard times. Come on. Did anybody go through some hard times in 2019? I know there's going to be a lot of so-called prophets out there, and they're going to give you some smooth sayings. They're going to give you some ice cream prophecies. They're going to give you some lollipop prophecies. They're going to give you some sugar cookie prophecies, and they're going to tell you everything that's good, everything that's edifying, everything that is smooth ice cream, pat you on the back. Nothing bad's going to happen. You're never going to have some hardships. You're not going to have any trials. You're not going to be tested. They're never going to tell you. You may have to encounter some closed doors. You may have to hear some no's. You may have to hear not at this time. You may go through some seasons where you don't hear anything. You've been praying. You've been toiling. You've been fasting. And it may be echoes. It may be silence. They ain't going to tell you that stuff. They're going to say it's going to be open doors. It's going to be blessing. It's going to be breakthrough. It's going to be good. It's going to be joyous. Everybody's going to love you. Everybody's going to want to give money to you. Your pocketbooks are going to overflow. Your bank account's going to explode with money. You're going to get the best job. You're going to get the CEO position, even though you never show up at your work on time. You're always late. You're always tardy. You're always calling in. You're at the bottom of the ladder. You've been at your job for 1 week. Even though all that, these false prophets are going to lie and give you smooth things. But I'm going to tell you, listen, I'm not saying God can't promote you. I'm not saying God can't give you an open door. I'm not saying God won't give you the breakthrough. I'm not saying God won't elevate you. I'm not saying God won't elevate the ministry. I'm not saying God can't bring your kids back. I'm not saying God won't heal you. Come on, somebody. I'm not saying God won't restore your marriage. But I'm trying to tell you, friends, you may have to go through some sifting. You may have to be shaken up a little bit. Your finances may go through a shaking. Your health may go through a little bit of a shaking. Your marriage may go through a little bit of a shaking. Your kids might go through a little bit of a shaking. Your ministry might get flipped upside down. Peter, you may get looked at and get rebuked and even say, get behind me, Satan. It don't mean the Lord don't love you. He does love you. He has called you. He has appointed you. But you are susceptible to be sifted. Why? Because the Lord is against you? No, he who is against you. Come on, he who is for you. How can he be against you? Who can be against you if he's for you? Come on, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Can I tell you? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth as his own son. Oh, there's somebody. Listen, somebody better. Yeah, I know this sounds ridiculous and it sounds ludicrous to even say this, but some of y'all better thank God for the sifting. Why? Because He loves you and He loves me so much that He is willing to put us through a sifting process so that He can get some dead stuff off of us. Come on. There's some stuff that I thought, there's some stuff that I thought I needed in 2019. And now that I'm coming out of 2019, getting ready to go in 2020, and I shed some tears over some stuff that the Lord allowed me to be shaken up. He allowed some stuff to be shaken up in my ministry. He allowed stuff to be shaken up in some friendships, some relationships, and this and that. Even my health was shaken up in 2019. And I cried some tears over it. I sobbed over it. I had a pity party over it. I called up some friends and we had, come on, misery likes company. And we talked about it. We cried about it. And we had some misery company over it. And now I'm looking back and I thank God that some things were shaken up, because I'm coming out on the other end better. Come on. Sometimes it takes a wake up call in your health so that you can get back on track, so that you can eat healthier. You can live longer, because the Lord wants you to live a long life and satisfy you and show you the joy of your salvation. There's some people that you thought that you needed at your side in your ministry, in your life, come on, in your circle of friends that you thought you were going to have until the end, but some things happen, circumstances happen, some events happen, and they're no longer at your side going into 2020, but now the Lord is beginning to lift the veil off some stuff. He's beginning to reveal to you, it was for a reason why I sifted them out of your life. I had to get them out of your life because you couldn't go where I'm taking you and where I need you to go with whom you were going to go with on that destiny. Golly, guys, listen to this. Satan tells Peter, or the Lord tells Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Come on, somebody. Listen, this should encourage you. Jesus is praying for you and I. We think that He's up there building mansions, you know, because John says, for I prepared a place for you, and if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you that where I am, there in my Father's house, there are many mansions, that where I am, there you can be also. Listen, it's already finished, guys. He's not up there building you a mansion. He's not up there building you an apartment complex. He's not up there building something for you. It's already done. It is finished. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Why? What's He doing? He is making intercession for you and I. When we don't see it, we can't feel it, we can't touch Him, and we don't see what He's doing, He is interceding for you and I. When we should have died in a car accident, listen, not only were your grandmama and your mama praying for you, and your church folks praying for you, and your wife praying for you, and your husband praying for you, and your fans, your friends praying for you, and your church praying for you. Listen, not only was the Holy Ghost interceding for you, but Jesus Himself was praying for you and spared you and spared me from things that we'll never know on this side of heaven. Jesus tells him, I have prayed for you. Listen, I've got to get through this message, guys. He says, I pray that your faith should not fail. Here's what it's all about, guys. Ready? When we go into 2020 and we're contending for our faith, listen, Satan wants to sift you. Ready for this? So he wants to get you to lose your faith in that which you believe God for. I'm just going to let that set in and soak in for a minute. Listen, oh, come on, somebody. Let me go over here. I'm going to show you this process. My goodness, I didn't even realize we've been in this thing for 30 minutes, and I haven't even got to the second part of my notes yet. So you guys pray for me. I got to get through this thing. Go to Matthew 13 with me. Watch this. I want to show you this. Jesus gives this parable, and He talks about a sower and a seed, and He talks about four types of seed, all right? He talks about, listen to this, in Matthew 13, 4, it says, and the sower sowed some seed, and it fell by the wayside, and birds came and devoured it. And then He says in verse 5, some fell on stony places that didn't have much earth, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. In verse 7, it says, some fell among thorns, and it choked them out. And then number 4, some fell on good ground, and it produced and yielded a crop of some 30, 60, and 100 fold. All right? But then Jesus, I love this, verse 18, Matthew 13, 18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. Now Jesus is making it plain, and he's going to tell you what it is. And I'm going to make this practical to you and I. Ready? Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, listen to this, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Listen, friends, I got to give you what the Lord gave me in my notes today when I was putting this message to get together. Ignorance of the word of God produces unbelief and will give a cause for stumbling. If you're taking notes, write that down. Ignorance of the word of God produces unbelief and will give a cause for stumbling. Romans 10, 17, what's it say? So then what comes by faith, by hearing? Faith. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, why does it repeat that? It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, because it's not a one-time event. It's a continual process. Every day, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. So every time you go to a service, every time you come to church, every time you hear a podcast like this, every time you hear a man of God preach, a woman of God preach, you open the word of God, you open up a devotional, whatever the case may be, and you begin to hear the word, read the word, you begin to devour the word. Faith is coming. Faith is building. You're exercising your faith. It's like a muscle, guys. You don't lift weights one time and look like Lou Ferrigno, or look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, or look like Sylvester Stallone. No, you don't do that one time. It's a continual, persistent process. You lift over and over and over and over, and you tear down your muscles, and then you feed them again and build them back up, and you tear down your muscles, and you work out harder the next time, and you tear them down, and you build them up, and you tear them down, and you build them up. So this is the same illustration. When it comes to the word of God, you at the level of the word you keep devouring, your faith begins to get bigger and it begins to grow. And what did Jesus said? He said it's like a grain of a mustard seed. My goodness, he said if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain to be removed and cast into the sea. And that's the size of a mustard seed faith. How much more could you do if you continue to feed yourself the word of God? And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here's the problem, guys, in the church. Don't listen, in 2020, don't be like these people in this parable, that when you hear the word, that you don't understand it. Listen, some people say, well, Brother Ricky, praise God, I read 20 chapters of the Bible every single day. And then I ask them, well, what did you learn today? And they can't even remember a half of what they read. I said, what value is it? Listen, it's not about quantity. It's not about how much of the word you read. It's about quality. I would rather read one chapter of the Bible and break it down line on line, precept on precept, the original Greek and the original Hebrew, a concordance, word studies, commentary, and break that thing down and chew it and devour it, and like a cow that chews on the cud. He chews it and spits it up, and then he chews it more, and then he drinks the nutrients and then spits it up and chews it again. You will get more out of the quality of the word than you will the quantity of the word, rather than just skimming through. Well, I got to read my 20 chapters today, so yeah, I'm just going to read this and read this and read this and read this, and then you don't even know what you read. Joshua 1:8 said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate on it day and night. That word meditate means to chew on it. In Psalms chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Come on. He doesn't take the counsel of the wicked. It says, but he meditates on the word day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth his fruit. All right, I got to get through this. Number two, It says, then there'll be those that receive the seed on stony places. And this is those who hear the word and immediately receive it with joy. Come on. They're clapping their hands in the church. They're shouting you down. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for the word of God. Yeah. Come on. They'll say, preach it, preacher. Preach it, pastor. Preach it. Hallelujah. They receive it with joy. But it says, yet they have no root in themselves. And they endure only for a short time, because when tribulation or persecution arises, somebody say tribulation or persecution arises. And listen what it says. I love this. This is in Matthew 13:21. It says, when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they stumble. Why does persecution and tribulation rise? Because of the word. Listen, you think Satan is just going to sit back and you shout down the man of God, or you get excited because you get a rhema word, you get a revelation of God, you get a word from the Lord, and you are, I mean, you call up five buddies and you're like, listen to this word God gave me. Hallelujah. Praise God. You write it down in your journal. You're shouting, you're hollering, you're doing a Jericho march around your living room. You're excited. But what you don't realize is tribulation and persecution is on its way, not because of the way you look, not because how loud you shout, not because how high you jumped, or not how good you danced. No, it's coming for the revelation that you have of the word that you just got. Guys, this is so good. Come on. I want to expound on that, but let me go back up here. Matthew 13:21. Yet, here's no pun in this, by the way. I don't mean to be, there's no pun in this. But let me get to the root cause of why they stumble. Verse 21, yet because they have no root in themselves. What does this mean? Ephesians 4:11-16. I got to get through this, guys. I did not mean to go this long, but I'm going to give you this word anyway. So you just bear with me while I just, you know, receive it. If you got to go and go back and watch this. This is why we get it up put on YouTube and podcast. Listen to this. Ephesians 4:11-16. We're talking about he has no root in himself. How do you get rooted and grounded in him? Ready? Ephesians 4:11-16. And the Lord himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now it's a fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You ready? Here it is. Here's the purpose of it. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, and that word edify means to build up, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see that? There's three things here. Equipping, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body. Verse 13, until we all come to the unity of the what? The unity of the faith. So now he's giving you an even greater purpose for this fivefold ministry, and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. Many times when you see the word perfect in Greek, it means mature, a fully matured man or woman of God. Listen, the implication here is we as the members of the body of Christ, we can't even fully grow to a maturing believer or mature believer unless we are taught, fed, and being edified and ministered to by all facets of the ministry. Not just, listen, I love pastors. I love teachers. But you can't just have pastors and teachers. You got to have apostles. Uh-oh. So much for the sensationists and those who don't believe in apostles and prophets today. But we got to have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. I'm going to tell you, listen, to be a healthy, fully mature believer, you need all five voices speaking into your life. Listen, I know for me, you'll see all those books behind me. I've got all five voices that speak to me through books, through literature, through resources, through videos, through preaching, through church, through operation. Why? Why? Why do I need this? Why? So that I can be equipped for the work in the ministry, so I can be edified, so that I can come to the unity of the faith, so I can grow in the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature or to a perfect man or woman, if you would. Listen to this. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen, verse 14. Why do we need this, Brother Ricky? Here it is, verse 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So it's interesting that people, they get excited about the word, but then as soon as Satan comes to try them for their faith in that very word that they got, you're going to find out how much of a root they have in the Lord. How much of the word do they have in them? How rooted are they in the church? How rooted are they in Him and the fullness of Him and the stature of Him? You're going to find that out when trial and tribulation, persecution, and all these things come. But you got a lot of believers that are being blown by everyone. Come on, the latest, the greatest, the greatest fad, everything that comes along, they're jumping from ship to ship to church. Why? Because they're not rooted and grounded in Him. All right, listen to this. But speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up. Somebody say, it's time for me to grow up in all things in Him. Who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Again, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And we could even go farther. We could talk about the ministry of works, the ministry of helps, the ministry of giving, and goes on and on and on. Hospitality. We are many members of one body, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, and it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, let me read this note to you, and I'm almost done here, guys. Again, notice tribulation and persecution arises because of the word. Peter was being sifted for what he knew of the word. He was being tried for the faith he had in the word in God. Remember, Peter had a divine revelation from the Lord of whom Jesus was. Peter understood he was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David. And every trial that would come to him was for what he understood, had revelation of the Word. Tribulation and persecution that we as believers will encounter will be according to the amount of knowledge and revelation we have in the Word and in faith we have in the area in which we understand of the Lord. In other words, when you start having a revelation and you have faith in God as the healer, you'll be tried in your body. Hello? When you begin to have faith and you begin to have knowledge and revelatory knowledge in giving and receiving and the law of giving and receiving, you're going to be tested and tried in your finances. When you have revelatory knowledge and understanding in prayer, you're going to be tried and tested in your prayer life. And this can go on and on and on in every one of these areas. Number three, it says the sower sowed them the seed among thorns. And this is the man or woman who hears the word of God, and when the cares of life come and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and they become unfruitful. What is this? Listen, many people in 2019 and even going into 2020, we can all fall victim to this if we are not rooted and grounded in Him and our faith is not held and intact. Listen to this. Many are losing their faith because they are mingling with things that are sucking their faith dry. They're taking counsel from the ungodly. They're still remaining yoked with unbelievers. They refuse to abandon their old lifestyles. They're partying, etc. They choose not to exercise their faith in believing God with their finances, partnering with Him in His kingdom principles. They refuse to take up their cross. They refuse to deny themselves, and wanting to remain on their own throne rather than allowing the Lord to be seated on His throne in their life. Come on, that was a good note to take right there. All right, let me finish with this. 1 Timothy 1:18, 19, Paul tells Timothy, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. By them you may wage the good warfare, having faith." Here it is again. "Having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck." Did you hear that? There, Paul tells Timothy, there are some in the body of Christ, because they didn't recognize these principles that I'm telling you today, they have shipwrecked the faith. Listen, nobody wakes up tomorrow and shipwreck the faith. It doesn't happen overnight. How do you shipwreck the faith? You listen, trials come, tribulation come, a fiery dart comes, an attack comes here, a valley comes here, a setback comes here, an unexpected this happens here, something happens over here, and it's one thing after another, it's blow after blow, hit after hit, trial after trial, and instead of us sitting at the Lord's feet, growing in faith, growing in His Word, growing in the maturity of Christ, in the fullness of what He is, by surrounding ourselves with the pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists and the apostles, and getting ourselves built up and being edified for the work of the ministry. And instead of doing that, all these the sifting of the enemy that has been allowed in our lives has caused us to draw back. And the problem with drawing back is you can get to a place where you have shipwrecked the faith. Come on, I'm talking about where people, you become a by wonder to people. People say, "Wait a minute, where is brother so-and-so? Where is brother so-and-so that was slaying the giants? Where he had faith to move mountains, and he had financial breakthroughs and miracles, and he had these testimonies of healing and testimony." Well, you know, brother so-and-so, he did all that, but he's not in church anymore. He's not serving God anymore. In fact, he's back to his old lifestyle again. He's back in the bars again. He's back in the clubs again. He's swearing like a sailor again. He's back into the bondages that God brought him out of. What in the world happened to him? Well, it was one thing after another thing. We try to get him to come back to church. We try to get him back into faith. We try to get him to come to Bible studies. We try to get him to read his Bible. We try to get him in prayer. And he wouldn't show up here. He would miss a service here. He'd miss a little bit there. He wouldn't go to prayer there. He wouldn't read his Bible there. And it was little trickles, and it was little drops, and here, there, and here a little, and there a little. And it was the little foxes that ended up spoiling the vine. And eventually, Paul tells Timothy, "Have faith and a good conscience, in which some have rejected concerning the faith, they have suffered shipwreck." Come on, I don't want that to happen to anyone listening to this broadcast today. No one on podcast, no one on YouTube, no one on Facebook. I refuse. Come on, I'm speaking for you. I'm speaking for me. I'm speaking for our family. I refuse to allow us and our families to be shipwrecked in the faith. Come on, somebody. In 2020, I want to have tremendous faith. I want to have the kind of faith, come on, that moves mountains, that sees the miraculous happen, that sees the breakthroughs happen, that see things that I believe for in 2019 to manifest in 2020. 1 John 5:4 said, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith. What gives the victory to overcome the world? Our faith. How powerful is our faith? In Romans 4, verse 19, it testifies of Abraham. Listen to this. I'm going to close with this, and then we're going to pray. In Romans 4, 19, it says, "And not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. In the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief." Think about it, guys. You want to talk about somebody who got sifted? You want to talk about somebody that endured trials? You want to talk about somebody who endured persecution? You want to talk about somebody who went through it? It said that Abraham didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith. How did Abraham strengthen himself in faith? I'm going to tell you how he did it. He began to stir himself up through stories of the patriarchs. He began to read the Torah. He began to read the law, the prophets. He began to stir himself up. David couldn't find anybody to encourage himself. He was going through a trial. He was going through tribulation. He was going through persecution. Saul was after him. Everybody was threatening him. Goliath was threatening him. He couldn't find anybody. He couldn't find anybody in his corner. The Bible says he began to encourage himself in the Lord. Come on, somebody. And that's where I'm going to close right now with this. I want to close. Listen, you're going to do this right now. I want you to encourage yourself in the Lord today. Come on. If you don't have anything else if you don't have any goal to pray and fast for in 2020, I want you to believe God that this is going to be the year that you begin to exercise the faith that you've heard about. You begin to exercise and manifest the faith that you've believed before, that you've read about, you've heard about, you've seen it, but you're tired of reading about it, hearing about it, and seeing it happen in everybody else. It's time that you begin to see it manifest in you and your household. Come on, that God begins to grow. You begin to grow that kind of faith in you, that you begin to believe God for the impossible for 2020. When you begin to pray and fast and begin to bombard heaven, the Bible says you can come boldly before the throne of grace. Come on, you're not going to waver at your unbelief, but you're going to strengthen yourself in faith. If you got to get a CD, if you got to turn on a podcast, if you got to turn on a YouTube channel, you got to turn on some Christian television, get in your church, get in a prayer meeting, get in a Bible study, get in a cell group, and you've got a faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, well, I don't have anybody in my quarter. Then it's time to pull yourself up from your bootstraps, David, and begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Father, I thank you for every boy, girl, man, or woman. I don't care how old they are, young they are. I don't care their ethnicity. I don't care their denominational background, how long they've been serving God. I'm praying for everyone under the sound of my voice. God, I'm asking that you'd begin to deposit in us a mentality, a tenacity, a fortitude in us, a fight in us, that we will allow faith to grow. You said every man has been given a measure of faith. There's already a measure of faith in us. We know that that is at least the size of a mustard seed. I'm asking that 2020, that we would not begin to cower down. We would not back down. But Lord, we would move forward. We would press in. We would press on. And we would begin to contend. We would begin to fight. We begin to believe God for those things that we have been contending and praying and believing for. Satan has tried to get us to throw in the towel. We know that the Lord may even allow him to sift us as wheat, but we're going to come out on the other end as gold. We're going to come out on the other end as the precious gold. We know that this fiery trial is but for a moment, but we know that we're going to come out on the other end of this thing greater than what we came in on this thing, in Jesus' name. God, I believe that when we come out on the other, I believe that when 2020 comes and we come through the sifting process and our faith has not failed. Oh, yes. I've got a word for somebody, but I'm going to finish this and I'm going to go back to what just dropped in my spirit. I believe when we come out on the other thing, at the end of this thing in 2020, you're not going to be recognized by some people that you used to run with. But listen, I got a word. I felt this drop in my spirit when Jesus was speaking to Peter. He said, Peter, after this sifting process, when you have returned unto me, you will strengthen your brethren. Listen, some of y'all need to tag somebody in this Facebook message or give them the URL to this podcast or this Spotify message or this YouTube URL. There's somebody out there, whether it's your family members, whether it's your friends, church members, coworkers, neighbors, I don't know who this is, but somebody you personally know had a relationship with God, but they, through this sifting process, trials, tribulations, whatever it was, hurts, abandonments, hurts, trials, whatever, it's caused them to be as Peter, and they've walked away from the Lord. But if you'll open your mouth and you'll begin to partner with heaven and begin to call those things that be not as though they were, and you begin to prophesy them back into the kingdom, prophesy them back into the house of God, prophesy them back into your family, back into your marriage, back into your neighborhood, back into your work, back into your Bible study, back into what you know they're called to do. Come on, prophesy. Just speak those things that be that are not as though they were. Come on, begin to call life into them. Prophesy over them. Don't give up on them. Somebody needs to add some people to their prayer and fasting list for 2020. Come on, some folks that are backslid, some prodigal sons and daughters and whoever they are, put them on your prayer list. Put them in your prayer chain. But when you're, as you're praying, as you're fasting, call their names out before God and watch the Lord begin to bring them back into the fold in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, that was a word for somebody that needed to hear this. So listen, we love you guys and we thank you for your partnership. We thank you for your prayers and your support of this ministry. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys on Facebook Live, you're going to find the link right there underneath the description. You click on that link, it's going to bring you to our main landing page. There you can subscribe to push notifications. You can subscribe to our daily digest. You can also, if you would like, listen by podcast, Spotify, or YouTube, or however you're watching this broadcast today. Listen, if this ministry is a continual source of blessing, edification, and information to you and your family, and you would like to partner with us. Maybe in 2019 you never partnered with us, but you feel like you feel a drawing of the Lord to partner with this ministry in 2020, and you feel like that's what you're called to do. We want to encourage you to do that. Again, all of our messages are free on YouTube, Facebook, podcast. There's no charge, no resources. Everything is free. Everything is there for you guys to be blessed and edified by. All we ask is that if the Lord puts it upon your heart and you're blessed, edified, encouraged, and informed on a weekly basis, that you would just sow back into this ministry as you've been blessed to be a blessing back. And the Lord, watch the Lord bless you exceedingly abundantly above all that you could even ask or think. Guys, on that note, real quick, in 2020, we're still working on this, but we've got the ETH app coming. Our new official ETH app is on its way. It's coming. I promise you it is. It's a long process because it's very complicated, but it is on its way and it's coming. Second of all, every year we do our prayer, we do our fasting series, but this year we're going to change it up a little bit different. We're still going to do messages like this while we're in this time and season of prayer and fasting. We're going to do our prophetic updates. We're going to do those viewpoint segments. And we're going to continue to do these devotional messages. So what we're going to do is we're going to put our entire, our fasting series that we have on YouTube. You can find all this on YouTube. All you got to do is go to our YouTube channel and type in, go to YouTube, type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see our Ricky Scaparo, RickyScaparo. You're going to see either one of those. It's going to bring up our channel. And under the search bar, if you search under fasting, you're going to see all of it. We've got like, I think, 6 or 8 messages on fasting. That whole series is there. We're going to put all you guys on podcasts. It's not there yet. But this whole week and over the next couple weeks, we're going to work on putting all those messages on YouTube, all on podcasts. All of last year's, because they're just as powerful. Those words from last year are just those principles that you need to equip you for fasting. They're all going to be available on our podcast, on Spotify there, and on Apple as well. And we're going to repost them from YouTube. So watch for this on the Facebook pages. And watch this on the main website. We're going to be putting that up there. So we love you guys. God bless you. We will be back either tomorrow or Wednesday. We'll have a live prayer segment as well, because we're going to start doing this every Wednesday. We're going to have a live prayer segment. We will pray for your needs. So we'll be doing that too. So we'll either be back on here tomorrow with a viewpoint segment, or we will be back on our Wednesday with our prayer segment, and then we'll continue on Thursday. So God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.